Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution.
So grab your phantom targets.
And let's get civical. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I am Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski.
And what's there to say today? It's Friday.
It's Friday. It's a busy day.
It's a busy day.
Yes.
We are inching towards summer, although it's, I think, quite cool today.
Yes.
I feel like it keeps being touch and go with the summer.
Yeah.
May doesn't want to give over.
Not yet. But I feel like is it today or tomorrow, whatever, that's supposed to be the chillier day. But then I feel like we're off to the races and we're in the 70s,
I think it's 70s. Today and maybe even also tomorrow. Today's like a high of 60. Tomorrow's a high of 60. Okay. Sunday's a high of 57. And then we're in the 70s. But it's raining Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Okay. Sunny again on Friday.
Okay.
Raining Saturday, Sunday.
You know what? Okay. Here it is. I don't mind that because I am moving apartments.
You are.
But I'm moving internally within my building. So nothing's going to get wet.
That's actually so nice.
Yes. And I'm not missing anything outside. It's not going to be so flipping hot that I'm going to be dripping sweat. We can open windows.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Perfect moving weather. I am happy.
Are you guys painting before you move in?
Yes. They've painted, you know, like the white walls.
Yeah.
We're going to do like accent walls and whatever. But
love.
And great. Probably do some more primer because there are some spots that they've missed. And
yeah.
We'll do touch-ups, but. I mean,
we'll be doing some touch-ups, she says.
We'll be doing some touch-ups for sure.
I know. You like painting so much. Or I don't know if you like it, but you're so good at being like, oh, yeah, I'll paint. Whereas I have been wanting to paint my bedroom since we moved in. And painting this room that I'm in nearly broke down Kyle and I's relationship I can't possibly imagine trying to take on the bigger bedroom.
Oh, no.
I think we have to hire someone. Like, I think it just might be somebody that we have to hire to do.
Oh, no. What are the is it like paint this way, paint that way, this color, that color? Like, what is the disagreement over?
Watching Kyle paint a wall.
Oh, fascinating.
Is so painful to my soul because it's so It's so haphazard. He lacks, and let me tell you, this love of my life, lacks finesse. And I'm having to watch him, and it's just like blood splatter everywhere is what it feels like. So watching him paint a wall, like, is so stressful. And then it's also, I just don't enjoy it. Like, to me, it's very, there's a lot of exertion. I'm stressed about dripping. Like, I am not in any way, shape, or form. Neither Kyle or I are natural home improvement DIYers.
You don't give that vibe.
It doesn't come naturally. I don't enjoy the process. Like, I'm proud. I mean, this room is, if you look at it, the paint job is mad. But, like, I'm proud that we did, that this room came to fruition.
It's a color.
It's a color. I'm proud of it. You know, it's a dark. I love the green. It looks black on camera, but I love it. But, yeah, it's like some people really, like, it's fun. It's meditative. Yeah. It's like, you know, you feel accomplished at the end of it.
Right.
And that just is not how we felt.
Sure. I understand.
We would have to, like, take turns. Like, I would leave the room. I would do, like, a wall, and then I would leave and he would come do a wall because I couldn't.
That's so funny.
Stand.
I feel like Caroline and I we've fallen in very quickly and easily to the things that we're good at and we don't mind doing. Like, I don't mind doing the cleaning when it, like, all, so the plan is to clean, I'll clean the various spaces and surfaces and whatever. She will come along and paint the accent walls because she doesn't mind doing the painter's tape and doing all of that. Ugh. And then together we'll move the furniture and we'll, like, we have a whole plan.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be
every step of it. So it's like,
I'm not saying it's going to, we're not going to be like, you know, it's not going to be a party, but I think we've just succumbed to our fate and it's going to be what it's going to be and we're going to do it together. And it's not like there's going to be disagreements. Like, we're already like, okay, but you can't use all the boxes because then we won't have boxes to move stuff upstairs with. Like, we can't put all of the upstate stuff in boxes because then we won't have boxes to bury upstairs.
Highly recommend Gorilla Bins.
Yes. I tried to use them last time I moved and they said no. And I can't remember why they said no. Oh. Like, maybe they were out.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Yeah. And then now, like, this time I'm like, ugh. Like, we're just moving. It just feel like it's also very late, like, last minute notice.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just feels very like another thing to coordinate.
Sure.
I don't know. So anyway, this weekend is a move and a lot will be had and done. But then by this time next week, it's going to be nice and it's going to be sunny. Hopefully, fingers crossed. And we can go to the park and go to our new apartment afterwards and just like hang out.
And just hang.
And the next episode will be recorded from the new TV room.
The new TV room. The home theater. You've made it.
The home theater.
Well, today's episode has nothing to do with anything we just talked about, of course.
Very, very far. There's actually no segue possible.
There's no segue possible. It is, I think we are naturally doing a series that's called Talking About the Vietnam War Without Actually Having to Talk About the Vietnam War.
Oh, really? What else have we talked about the Vietnam
War? Well, I feel like we always talk about how much we're like, don't want to tackle the Vietnam War because it's just so like, it's so big. It's so much. It's like not a fun war. I mean, no wars are fun, but like some are more interesting than others. And I don't know if interesting is the right word, but the Vietnam War is just so
purposeful. Yes.
Purposeful. Yeah. It's just like, you know, God, like, why were we there? Everybody died. Mm-hmm. It's like, don't love it. Mm-hmm. So we are circumventing talking about the war by talking about the end of the war.
It's very true. I started doing these notes and I was like, huh, how much do I actually want to talk about the Vietnam War? Because then it kind of gets us out of having to do an episode on the Vietnam War, except that we still do have to do an episode
we'll
on
do
the Vietnam
it at
War.
Some point. But you look, if you want to learn about the Vietnam War, go watch a Ken Burns documentary. Like, for God's
sakes,
go knock yourself out. But I think we can certainly glaze through, you know, the highlights and the lowlights of the Vietnam War to talk about this actual subject, which is important. And I think,
yeah,
once again, one of those things that is historically sort of momentous.
Yes.
But I don't think, I mean, I certainly couldn't name off the top of my head what was the resolution called that ended the Vietnam War. It's not like the Treaty of Versailles.
Oh, no, this is what started the war.
Oh, it started the war. See, I'm so confused. The war. I thought this was the end of the war.
No, no, this is what allowed the U.S. to get into the war.
Well, never mind. Forget what I just said. But still.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't know. I didn't know we started the war with a resolution, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole thing because we thought we were attacked. Were we just pretending we were attacked because we wanted to get into the war?
Yeah. There's that's like so a whole, us, though, to be like, oh, so, they got me.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm hit. Ah, dying. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, shows how much I know about the Gulf of Tonkin. Really thought it was nothing. The end.
I knew nothing. Here we are. So I'll tell you about today's sources. Please. For the show. We have the Office of the Historian.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Love her.
Love her.
History.com.
Obviously.
Obviously. And the National Archives.
Ugh.
I know.
I love that. A lot of
two really good government sources here.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're not talking out of our ass except for the part where I said this ended the war and didn't start it.
And I have to say, you know, because basically we got into the war by saying, oh, we were attacked. Come help us. But the government sources were very much like, yeah, that kind of was bullshit. We kind of, that was our bad, but bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love when we do that, where we're like, well, that was a lie. Mm-hmm. Obviously. Sorry about that.
So sorry.
Yeah. Again, all the reason why the Vietnam War is just like, ugh.
Yeah.
What are we fighting? What are we fighting? We're not talking about that. We're talking about the Gulf of Tonkin resolution.
Yes.
What started us getting into the Vietnam War, which I knew from the beginning of this episode. So obviously. Let's start off with what she was. What was the Gulf of Tonkin resolution? Here we go. The Gulf of Tonkin resolution authorized President Lyndon Johnson to, quote, take all necessary measures to repel any armed attack against the forces of the United States and to prevent further aggression by the communist government of North Vietnam, end quote. That's a lot of power.
It's a lot of power. And it's pretty open-ended in terms of like what they can and
totally
what they can do. Yeah.
It's the by any means necessary approach is always a slippery slope.
Yes.
Because we'll take that as far as we can go.
Mm-hmm.
It was passed on August 7th, 1964 by U.S. Congress after an alleged attack on two U.S. naval destroyers stationed off the coast of Vietnam. The Gulf of Tonkin resolution effectively launched America's full-scale involvement in the Vietnam War.
Yep.
Dun, 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 ta-da-ta, ta-da-ta, ta-da-ta. Yikes, yikes, yikes. So we're basically like, hey, we were attacked off the coast of Vietnam. And so you need to pass a resolution basically saying that we can do literally whatever we need to do to strike back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Communism, man, it really got to our heads.
Yeah, we were really afraid of it.
Oh, my goodness.
We were really afraid of the communism.
Oh, my goodness.
So just to give some context, because I guess why we got involved in Vietnam, because we were very scared of the communism. But the details, I guess, you know, the details of it I always forget because.
Well, because it feels like, I mean, we were basically afraid of an ideological.
Right. Like you're fighting an ideology and how do you
ideology,
even do that?
Yeah, couldn't think of the word, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're fighting an ideology and we continue to do that a lot today. And it's like, how do you even go about doing that?
Because
those
Well, it's also like it's so, I mean, this is, you know, a height of Cold War. It's there's the nuclear weapons tension always left over from JFK, still very prevalent. Is will they, won't they, will they, won't they, USSR. And now, like, you're seeing it spread throughout the across the pond, mm-hmm. the European and Asian continent. You have China, you have the USSR, and now there's Vietnam. And it's like, we're going to become outnumbered soon.
Soon,
and
very soon.
Someone's going to drop a mm-hmm. bomb.
Yeah. Yeah. Communism. We were very afraid. After the end of the First Indochina War and the Viet Minh defeat of the French at Dinh Bien Phu in 1954, the countries meeting at the Geneva Conference divided Vietnam into the northern and southern halves, ruled by separate regimes, and scheduled elections to reunite the country under a unified government. I feel like this always works great when a foreign government is like, here's what you are going to do.
I mean, it's so bizarre, this trend that happened in like this 20-year span of like, how are we going to solve this problem? Yeah. I know, we'll split the country in half.
Right. Obviously, this is going to work. This that, is going
obviously,
to work.
And you get one half and you get the other half mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. that's what's fair.
That's what's fair.
Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
What do you mean split the country in two, give them two different regimes and then say, but we're going to end up uniting you under one?
Right.
What are you talking about?
Right.
No one called me. I would have been like, so hey, God, this is men.
Uh-huh.
Again, I feel like I keep shaming men, but women wouldn't do this. We'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
We'd be like, there are people. You can't split up the people on these lands.
You can't just like draw a line in the sand and be like, that's north, that's south. Here's different. It's like, what are you talking about?
No.
Do the hard thing and figure out a compromise.
Right.
But they're like, no.
No, that's too
hard. There's no possible way we could possibly come to one single decision.
No. The communists seem likely to win those elections, thanks mostly to their superior organization and greater appeal in the countryside.
Sure.
The United States, however, was dedicated to containing the spread of communist regimes and invoking the Charter of the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization of 1954, supported the South Vietnamese leader Ngo Dinh Diem when he refused to hold the elections. Diem held control of the South Vietnamese government, but he could not halt the communist infiltration of the South. And by 1959, the Viet Cong, South Vietnamese communist guerrillas, and the Viet Minh began a large-scale insurgency in the South that marked the opening of the Second Indochina War.
So basically, we've got probably, let's say, USSR-backed leader who is if there were elections would absolutely win to take over full control of Vietnam. And then you have the guy that the United States wants, who's not a communist, mm-hmm. who does sort of a non-democratic thing and is like, we won't hold elections.
Yes. No elections.
You can't lose an election if you don't have an election.
Yes. And it's a little non-democratic principle.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then the Viet Cong are like, be invading.
Yeah, actually, we're going to come in and take over now. So
actually, that's enough of that. Mm-hmm. We will be actually taking control of the situation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say that's not the best policy move.
No, it's not a great look.
But continuing on. So, Ngo Dinh Diem failed to capture the loyalties of the people of South Vietnam the way that Ho Chi Minh had done among the population of North Vietnam. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, he's like, I'm not going to hold elections.
No.
Can't lose if you don't hold them.
Exactly.
Which I'm like, okay, weak.
Mm-hmm.
Despite U.S. support, Diem's rural policies and ambivalent attitude towards necessary changes like land reform only bolstered support for the Viet Cong in the southern countryside. So we're forgetting about the farmers.
Yes.
And as we learned the hard way in the United States, when you do that, there are consequences.
Consequences.
By 1963, Diem's rule had so deteriorated that he was overthrown and assassinated by several of his generals, with a tacit approval of the Kennedy administration. Oh my God.
We're so shady.
All right, kill him. He's not getting it done. Kill him.
We just don't tell us about it. We just won't look that way.
Literally, like, you can't tell me ahead of time.
No. And I don't want to know about it afterwards.
Yeah. Nothing will happen if you do, but I can't sanction this. So if you fail, that's on you.
Right. And we can't get you out of trouble, but like, we're not going to be mad about it.
Yeah. So if you're going to do it, you got to succeed. Because
you
got to
do it right. That's on you. That's on you, bro.
Consequences are yours.
Yep.
Golly, golly, golly. We're so fingers in all the pots.
I know.
3 weeks later, U.S. President John F. Kennedy was also assassinated, and the war continued under new leadership in both countries. So, I mean, how crazy is that?
Yeah,
so
that's
you
nuts.
Got the main southern guy taken out, and then on the United States, like basically the U.S. and its allies, both down.
Both down.
Both down. Leaders both down. So now we got to bring up new leaders and see what they do with this. Before his death, Kennedy had increased the U.S. advisory presence in South Vietnam in the hopes that a U.S.-supported program of, quote, nation building would strengthen the new South Vietnamese government. However, South Vietnam continued to experience political instability and military losses to North Vietnam. Well, yeah, I mean, you just killed your leader.
Right.
Like, your own people killed him.
Doesn't bode well for trust. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a minute to recover from like having to assassinate your own president. Or not. Yeah. I don't know if it's your president. I don't know what he was, but your own leader.
Yeah.
Not good. Not a good way to start a country, I'm afraid. Yeah.
Doesn't bode well.
By August of 1964, the Johnson administration, who is now in office post Kennedy's assassination, believed that escalation of the U.S. presence in Vietnam was the only solution.
I mean, of course. Of course, like, Johnson did.
Our nation building's not going well. And you've got, I mean, the people are choosing communism, which, like, they obviously can't do. They can't choose this because they know not what they do. It is sort of this thing of like, I think this is one of the worst versions of ourselves, is looking at another country and being like, the path that you have chosen, you can't choose.
Wrong. Wrong answer.
It's like, what are you talking about? It's Vietnam. We have no business. But we say we have business because of our Cold War with the USSR.
We're so
1 billion miles away, by the by.
Yes.
It's just,
yeah, it's all very shady.
Shady.
So it's very shady. So the post Diem South proved no more stable than it had been before his ouster, and South Vietnamese troops were generally ineffective. In addition to supporting ongoing South Vietnamese raids in the countryside and implementing a U.S. program of bombing the Lao border to disrupt supply lines, the U.S. military began backing South Vietnamese raids of the North Vietnamese coast. So we're all over. We're all over having various military raids, military acts, you know.
Yeah.
Of in support of the South Vietnamese against the North Vietnamese.
Yeah, we're basically having to prop up this operation.
Right, we're already propping up the operation. We're already there. We're already acting in a military manner, unofficially. Like, we're already at war in support of the Vietnamese unofficially. Yeah. Great. Just because we're talking about the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, totally. Which...
Right. This isn't a sanctioned...
Right. This is not a sanctioned war at this point. So, the U.S. Navy... Because obviously we're helping.
We're just helping a friend out.
The U.S. Navy stationed two destroyers, the Maddox and the Turner Joy, in the Gulf of Tonkin to bolster all of these actions, the raids against the North Vietnamese coast and so forth.
Sure.
They reported an attack by North Vietnamese patrol boats on August 2nd and a second attack on August 4th. However, doubts later emerged as to whether or not the attack against the Turner Joy had taken place. So there's a whole, like, okay, you're going to tell us the story further, but there's very big doubts about whether any of this actually happened or to what extent this happened.
Yeah. This feels like when you watch soccer and you watch a soccer player.
Oh, my God.
Like,
it's lightly the touched best.
And they're like,
what? You're like, oh, my God. And then they like, I love the
and they
one.
Writhe.
They writhe. Oh, yeah. Or you see them like get like, it, you know, the like, I love the video cuts that are like somebody gently pushes them over and they fall back. And then the next cut is to them like being carried off in a stretcher from the.
Yeah.
From the thing.
It's,
oh my God.
That's this.
It's so good. That's this.
That's this.
They threw a rock at us. We're at war.
Sure. I'm sure they were just in the water.
Yes.
Or they were like they sailed past us.
Or there was like a plane nearby. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like not even theirs. It's just, it's a bird. Oh, we're at war.
All right. Well, let's hear about this tale of attack on these two destroyers. So they were stationed in the Gulf of Tonkin, which is a body of water now referred to as the East Vietnam Sea, which were the waters that separate Vietnam from the Chinese island of Hainan. They were there as part of the effort to support South Vietnamese military raids, like we said. Just before 9 p.m., Maddox, one of the destroyers, reported spotting unidentified vessels in the area. This is my theory, where they were just around.
Yeah.
Over the next 3 hours, both destroyers, Maddox and Turner Joy, were engaged in high-speed maneuvers designed to evade attack. Although it was unclear whether or not North Vietnamese ships were, in fact, in pursuit.
Yes.
I love this idea of the North Vietnamese ships just sitting there being like, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like.
Yeah. No, it talks about them. It talks about them like, I forget which one it was, if it was the Maddox. But like, it talks about them like going out to sea, like they're fleeing. They're going away. And then they're like, oh, but like, we can't just abandon. We can't. We've got to go back. And so then like hard cut it back into the Gulf. Like they're doing all these maneuvers back and forth and cutting across. And they're like, and they're there just wasn't like, even any Vietnamese there.
They may not even be there. Oh, my God.
I know. It's amazing.
Still, one of the destroyers, Maddox, reported multiple torpedo attacks as well as automatic weapons fire. Both destroyers returned fire, launching multiple shells at the quote-unquote enemy.
Uh-huh. Quote-unquote, says history.com.
They're shooting at something.
Mm-hmm.
However, Navy Commander James Stockdale, who had overseen the air defenses of Maddox 2 days before and was flying reconnaissance over the Gulf of Tonkin on August 4th, cast doubt on whether there was indeed an attack that day, noting, quote, our destroyers were just shooting at phantom targets. There were no North Vietnamese boats there. There was nothing but black water and American firepower, end quote. So he's like on top being like, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah.
They're just sailing about shooting at the air.
Right. Probably shooting at themselves, shooting at something. Like, they're coming from over there. Shoot it, shoot it. They're coming from over there. Like, do you know what I mean?
Come
like, they're
on, just bastards. Shooting at
the sound that's reverberate. Like, what?
Oh, my God. They're on a wild goose chase.
Yes, they are. They're
this
chasing
is a
themselves.
Wild goose chase.
Yes.
Bless their hearts.
Bless their hearts.
Captain Herrick, too, later questioned his crew's version of events and attributed their actions on August 4th to, quote, overeager sonar operators and crew member error. So even the own captain is like, all right, so we got some new guys.
Mm-hmm. They're babies.
They saw a whale and they thought it was a torpedo.
Right.
It happens. It's not great. We're sorry, you know, this is Skipper's
can we call
first
off the war
time.
Yet? I'm so sorry.
I
we
know,
did fire him.
Have you seen
He's
these Viet Cong?
Like,
it's, you know, yes, we're trigger happy, but you can never be too careful. So why
never.
Not shoot and ask questions later? A very American tradition.
Sure. It's called honor. Defending thy honor.
Yeah. So bless our hearts. That event is the quote unquote attack. Of Northern Vietnamese ships attacking U.S. battleships is what brings us to the Gulf of Tonkin resolution.
Yeah.
Lyndon Johnson hears this and is like, they did what?
Yes. He is very upset. He is very upset. So, however, even though Captain Herrick's initial reports to the military and government officials in Washington, D.C. on August 4th and 5th indicated that the attack had occurred because he thought that it had.
He was like, we're shooting at something.
He's like, we're shooting at something. So something's going on.
Because you can't imagine that your crew's just shooting at nothing because two sonar guys are like, we saw a big eel and thought it was a torpedo.
Right. Because that's dumb. You would like to think that the people you have recruited for the United States Navy are smarter than that.
Are not our nation's finest.
Right. So even though the captain had written to the government and been like, we're under attack, and it had reached the officials that it needed to reach, U.S. Right. intelligence sources in Southeast Asia reportedly confirmed this early account. So he wrote that. It got to where it needed to go. Other officials in the area confirmed it because they, too, had heard about the attack. Rumors spread. With the time in the U.S. Capitol 12 hours ahead of that in Vietnam, President Johnson and his administration have been monitoring the events of August 4th since the early morning of August 5th. At 11:30 p.m. local time, President Johnson took to the airwaves to inform the American public, to inform the American public of the attack and to announce his intention to retaliate.
Because he's like, this is my Pearl Harbor.
Right. He thinks we're under attack, which okay, to his credit, I get it.
To Lyndon Johnson's credit.
Right.
Everybody's telling him that they are.
Right.
Like, nobody's thinking for a second, hey.
Yo.
Maybe we just put our faith into a couple of dumb 20-something-year-old sonar guys.
Yeah, who just really read it wrong.
But, the intelligence is saying that it was an attack. The captain initially is saying it was an attack. And nobody is coming forward being like, look, I think we just got a little spooked. And that's on us.
So sorry about it.
But everything's fine. There's no attack.
No. Nobody is.
Because that's almost more embarrassing than entering into a multi-year war with a country that didn't even strike us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, you know what? Let's just go to war.
Right.
Because that's what they want to do. That's what we want to do. Right. We want an excuse
to
legitimize
war.
Our presence there.
Yes. Yes. To stop communism. Because they think they can stop an ideology.
Yeah.
By fighting people I'll never understand that. So LBJ announces to the American public that we've been attacked. Then on August 7th, Congress passed a Gulf of Tonkin resolution, which the president signed into law 3 days later, and plans to increase U.S. military involvement in Vietnam were begun in earnest. So this is the start of the Vietnam War.
The start, not the end.
As it were. The start, not the end of the Vietnam
War.
Not to
be confused with the end of the Vietnam War.
Right. Different things. The beginning and the end of the Vietnam War. Not the same thing.
At least I knew it was about the Vietnam War. That's not nothing.
You know what? You are in the 0.5% of the American public who know that.
Sure.
So the results of the discussions about entering Vietnam through military involvement became apparent a few months later. On February 13th, 1965, the United States launched Operation Rolling Thunder, which I have to say, great name.
Oh my God, we finally get it right. After 500 years, 35 wars, we finally get a great name.
Yep.
Operation Rolling Thunder? Rock on. Yes. I don't agree with it. We shouldn't be there. But at least we got a good name. Jesus Christ, I've been begging hands and knees.
Yes. Yes.
Oy.
Operation Rolling Thunder was a large-scale bombing campaign of North Vietnamese targets that would last for more than 2 years.
Phew.
That's a lot. The president also authorized the deployment of ground combat troops to fight the Viet Cong in the Vietnamese countryside. So, air, land, we're at war.
Yeah,
this is the start of the Vietnam War.
Start of the Vietnam War. And we're not getting into it, but...
No, we're going to skip right to the end.
We're going to skip to the end.
And talk about the aftermath.
We're going to skip to the aftermath. Because, again, we're not touching the Vietnam War yet.
No. So we talked...
It's just such a bummer.
About the start, and we'll talk about the end.
Especially now, honestly, knowing how we got into this and that it was probably because a couple of guys got spooked mm-hmm. on the water who were operating sonar.
Yeah.
And that's what caused so many young men to get drafted and go over to Vietnam and be slaughtered by the Viet Cong for this so bizarre, like this intangible reason of we're combating communism.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, God, this freaking sucks.
It sucks.
Like, that's why I hate talking. I mean, I hate talking about wars for different reasons, but that's the biggest part of the Vietnam War. It's like, why were we there? And so many young men died.
Yes.
For this. Because of this.
Yeah.
Because a couple of dudes got spooked on the water who were operating a battleship.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
Yeah.
No good.
No, it's not.
So skipping ahead, Vietnam War happens. Let's talk about the aftermath. So although classified documents released in 2005 and 2006 suggest that the attack in the Gulf of Tonkin that led to U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War may have been fabricated, at least to some extent, there is no evidence that President Johnson or then Defense Secretary Robert McNamara intentionally misled Congress or the American people. And I agree with that. I think they genuinely believe that there was an attack.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they,
Yeah, I mean,
I think people who voted for like the, you know, a lot of people who voted for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars probably believed that there were weapons of mass destruction because they were shown what they thought was proof that there was.
Totally.
You know, like.
Totally. Totally. Still, the war was unpopular with many in the United States, and the anti-war protests began soon after the launch of operations spurred on by the Gulf of Tonkin incident. I mean, we've talked about several different protests that have happened against the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
And yeah, I get why people didn't want it.
Yeah.
It's a hard sell.
It's a barely, it's, and imagine being drafted for this where you're like, why? I mean, my uncle was. Like, why?
Yeah. And then to have to go up against the Viet Cong?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Like, that's an enemy I don't want to go up
against. No, I don't want to do that. No.
Those,
no, thank you.
Whew, those are some intense guys.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the war, the North Vietnamese invasion of the South in 1975, nearly 60,000 U.S. servicemen had lost their lives, along with nearly 250,000 South Vietnamese troops, 1.1 million Viet Cong and Northern Vietnamese fighter, and more than 2 million civilians across the country. So the death tolls are insane for a country that's this
big. So small. Yeah. So small.
So small.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
Insane. And we lost 60,000 young men, most of which who were drafted. Yeah. I don't like the Vietnam War.
No.
It's not. If I was a historian, I'd be like, let's just skip over this one. Because it's just like, what lessons, we didn't learn any lessons. It's meddling.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad. Like, so, ugh.
Yeah.
All the innocents paid the price of this
war. It's true. Yeah. The fact that the civilian number is the highest number and like double.
Right.
Double, more than double
either
the rest.
Sides.
Either side. Yeah.
The innocents paid the price for this on all fronts.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, that is the end of our episode on the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. As we said, someday down the line, we'll do the Vietnam War, but it is not this day.
Mm-mm.
But in the meantime, if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. As always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.